Thank you very much for the introduction. I hope I can live up to all the good words in that sense. I was given the task here to come up with a bit of a technical vision, but I need to give you a bit of background before we get to there. So I'm going to set the scene, talk a little bit about procurement, then I'll touch on the technical vision, and I'll just talk a little bit about ESG focus in the end. One of the biggest questions I got when joining this community, not that I have not followed it over the last many years, because I was part of the initial discussion back in 14 and 15, but I took a little bit of a side position there and left it to others, is what is ESG? It's a question I keep getting, and we get a lot of different answers. Web of Fair Data, Federation of Relevant Existing and Future Data Sources, Virtual Spaces, where science producers and consumers come together, an open any range of content and services, meeting all European data requirements, and interactions with other regions. The problems I have with many of those discussions is that if I'm to stand in an elevator explaining to someone who never heard about ESG before and telling them what is ESG, I will have a hard time doing it in 30 seconds. So these are all great visions, but a wise man once says, if you have a vision without a strategy, it remains an illusion. So one of the things that we are doing for the moment is we have kicked off some ongoing strategy work where we are looking at exactly what is ESG. We have a lot of internal discussions. We're going to spread that out to the community. How is the future landscapes going to be? And I'm going to come back to that a little bit in a second, including what will the future funding and governance be of ESG? What is the ESG vision not just for a short term, for the long term, and what is the purpose of the ESG Association and what role are we going to play in this? And also, what are the objectives and key results that we want to have out of this? So, in the end, we actually want to get to a point where we can crystallize a strategy that we can explain in 30 seconds and have a one-pager coming out of that. I think that is important because then I'll be able to answer some of the questions that when people ask me, what is ESG, where are we going? I stole this from one of my esteemed friends in the Commission about what is that ESG is a basis for science, research, and innovation. And for me, innovation is important for the community because that is actually where we all benefit in the end. I think we touched that a bit on one of the previous occasions. But I think, and also I come from a country where we have a very tight integration between universities and innovation companies in that sense, and that is really benefiting the community. And we need to do that all over the scheme in that sense. So ESG, a cross-cutting data space for research and innovation. So one of the things that we did earlier this year was we did a survey of EU-funded projects for 2014 to 2022. We did a survey. This is the overview of all the projects, both the Horizon 2020 and also some of the others. We had 24 projects responding to our questionnaire. And we asked them to identify what are your key exploitable results. We got 136 key exploitable results out of those 24 projects. That is usually the picture that I have in my head when I'm trying to look in how do we coordinate this, how do we put this in the same direction. The more I look on the picture, the more confusing it becomes because you got small boats, big boats, boats colliding, boats putting out fires. This is what I landed in when I started working for the ESG Association. So one of the things that I was asked also quite early to have an opinion on what is the procurement action, how can we actually put this into operation. I was asked a question by our president when I joined, says, well, if we do what we have in the plans right now, will we have an operational ESG in 2 years' time? And based on 30 years' experience building operational infrastructure, my answer was no way. This leads me into looking a bit on the procurement action. The procurement action is going to, and hopefully will be out soon, looking at creating a minimal viable EASC by managed services. I've seen, I think so all of you have seen the prior information notice we've given in a number of comments to help how should we shape that in a direction. The reason for we put energy into this is I work with procurement. I build networks, I procured networks, I answer procurement for the last many years, and one of the things that is key in a procurement is that the demands are clear, your ambitions of what you want to achieve is clear, and what you're asking for is unambiguous, easy to implement. With the risk of creating not so many friends, that was not the impression I got when I read the PIN. So we put in a number of comments to help move in that direction. I think this procurement is also coming out maybe a little bit earlier than from what would be, at least in my point of view, the perfect time, but I know there's a lot of background for that. So if we look at this, this is the scope of the procurement action, the horizon, the core technical platform. But there's a lot of other things that is also listed there, and that's where I get a little bit nervous. Because if we look at populating the EASC ecosystems, there are extremely many stakeholders. Some of them are not necessarily always having the same agendas. And this is going to be a very, very tough job in that sense. That brings me a little bit back to the first question I was given, to try to give some kind of technical vision for this. The people who knows me from the NREN community will also know that I have a tendency to be quite to the point. I also come from a country where Hans Christian Andersen wrote a tale about a little guy saying the emperor doesn't have any clothes on. So we are not afraid of speaking up if we think there are things that needs to change. So if I look at the whole landscape right now, I think there's an imbalance between expectations and reality. The specifications is mostly for development project, not for production system-centric systems. The transition from project prototypes to production is not foreseen and not included in the overall plan. There's many projects, many partners, no central leadership or coordination. Everything is in a big pot. And then brings me back to the question that I had from the beginning when I joined this. How do we devour a whale? And there was an answer for that in a TV series not many years ago, bite by bite. So one of the things we need to look at is how do we transition the plethora of projects, the results that we have out there, into a production that is sustainable. When I talk about sustainable and productions, I don't see that you can have a productive environment that will support the scientist that is based on 2, 3, 4 year timelines. It needs to be a much longer time horizon. And there needs to be a plan for how you move from 1 year or one setup to another, how you do development. I took the TRL levels because that was one of the things we asked the Horizon 2020 project for, is what are your TRL levels? And let me put it like that. I think our definitions might also differ depending on who we are talking to in that sense. But the main issue I have here is that if you go from TRL 6 to TRL 7, it seems like a very nice little easy step. It ain't. It's after building production services for many years, it's probably just as hard to go for TRL 6 to TRL 7 as building the other six. Because you need to look at what is the system services, the governance ownership, how will it be financed, how is this, the long-term financing that costs? What is the cost of it? What are the dependencies? What are the interfaces? How do we define the workflow, not just within the service, but for all the services around it? What are the resource requirements and the requirements, where do we get them from? Who's got the operational responsibility? Who do I call at 11 o'clock in the evening when things doesn't work? What are the service levels? Is it 90%, 95%, 97%? What are the penalties if it doesn't work? And what is the life cycle? One of the main things for providing services and infrastructure is that you have a life cycle around that, so you have a plan for building, testing, implementing, operationalizing, and killing it again. And the operational model needs to be KISS, keep it simple, which has been part of my problem when I've been looking at some of the documents, that they are very, very advanced, and there are extreme many elements. But the more element you put in, the more complicated it becomes, and the less likelihood that you will have a positive outcome out of that. So trying to look at that is, if you want ESG as a service of science and society, and here I mean also from some of the discussions that we have in the ESG Association and with others, what level do you need those services to be? I'm pretty sure none of us really think of what happens when you connect to the power grid, when you connect to the network here, when you turn on your television, because it just works. I think that many scientists will not have that feeling about ESG at this point in time. But I also think that's a level where we need to get to. I think the entrance level, the border for using ESG services is way, way too high and way too complicated. We need to simplify it. We need to make it easier for people to use. I think coordination, specification, integration, and outreach is important. I think there are really many contributors out there, and let me be very straight. I think we need to build ESG, and we need everybody that works on it today and a bunch more. But we needed to do it in a smarter way than we do it at this point in time. I think we need to separate the things into three main parts. I think we need to have a raw infrastructure. With a raw infrastructure, I mean computation, storage network, help desk for infrastructure. I mean multiple vendors that can be replaced by procurement. So we also are trying to build it efficiently and get the most for the taxpayers' money. We need multiple vendors because we don't want to rely on one and then can increase the prices or just deliver crap services. I think we need to be able to run procurements that can be research infrastructure sensing to them. It can be commercials or a combination. Personally, I really don't care who delivers the service as long as it's specified and things is delivered to specifications and those specifications are being met and it's done at the best possible and best price on that. And I think this is one of the things I've been trying, and my shark friends will know that I've been a irritating dog biting the shant in a, let's say, the leg for many years, trying to make them more efficient, trying to push them in a direction because I saw it could be done more efficiently. I will try to do the same here. I think we need modular services, because if it gets too complicated, we as human beings are losing traction of where we want to go. That need being for repository and data, that being for software, it'll be different integrations. A lot of the data we will have in there, we want to secure in this world we are living in. We don't want to hand out data to people that hasn't paid for it or that maybe is not friendly to us in that sense. So we need a security framework for it, especially when we're dealing with health data and other sensitive things. That means we also need a security operating center that does that actively in that sense, because security will need to be built on federated resources, but if it's not coordinated, we're going to have an issue. We need access control so we can actually identify who gets in and has the rights. We still have work to do there. I'm trying to onboard all our task forces and mandated members to the ESC platform using our EduGain AI. And trust me, I discovered a lot more issues than I would have expected before that. But so that is a good lessons learned. And we need help desk for the service, but it also needs to be help desk that is clearly defined with clearly open hours. And just as the SOC, having 24/7 or even 18 hours a day costs money. Last, but absolutely not least, is people and culture. Working on ESG is a paradigm change for really many people. So we need to work and change the culture. This is probably the most difficult task that we're going to have, because we as human beings have a tendency, if we've been doing the same thing for quite some years, and this is our biggest interest in life, changing the way we work is inherently not what we prefer to do. So we need to help people on that. We need to upskill them. So it's not just the people that are good at technical things, but people that are actually not good at technical things that will have the benefit of it in that sense, because that's where there's a huge potential. We need assisted onboarding. With that, I mean that we really need to be able to help people to utilize ESG at the same time as we are lowering the boundaries. And I think we need to create new science disciplines. The reason for that is that there's so much data out there. It also would be interesting for others that maybe not have the instrument, that comes from a total different perspective, to look at the data in a fresh way and see what they can find. And we need a service desk for people helping them on to the EOSC. Then, of course, the whole basis for this is sustainable funding and governance, that we need to find a model that is operational, not just in a 3-year timeline, but at least in a 10, 15, maybe 20 years timeline, because this is going to take time. So the reason for modularizing is because with my limited brain trying to get my wits around ESG in that sense, I needed to cut it down in smaller bits and pieces, eating the whale. So, but also trying to look at how do we create a machine. This is basically the synthesis of what I've been talking about the last bit. This is basically a model that comes from a theory about targeting operating models. I called it the ESG machine, because I think we need to be user-centric. We need to take and ensure that we got service excellence so that we are not compromising on the quality of services, that we also have an operational efficiency that makes the best use of the money, because it is taxpayers' money and we need to be efficient. And I think benchmarking ourselves is one of it in that sense. I think research transformation is important, because this is what about we talked about before, that people and culture needs to change. It needs to have societal impact. It's in the word that people easily use in that sense, but we have a number of challenges that our society needs to meet. I'm living in Germany, being Danish. Renewable energy was quite prevalent for me as a Dane. Trust me, as a German that now is depending on gas for my heating, renewable energy would be appreciated during the winter. And we need knowledge growth. And so we need to create a machine that, and when I say a machine, it's not just ESG Association, but all the fields around this. I will go quickly over the Sria and the Ma right now, because I have a talk about this morning, but I think it's an important point that we have to look at, and I think this is a point that I would like to touch more about tomorrow, how we can change that and how we can move this further on. With this, I think I will say that if I look at how we are going to achieve this. We got ESG Focus, which is a program on Horizon 2020 that I'm part of also, where we are trying to coordinate. It's a coordination and support action in that sense. And one of the main things there is upgrading the SIA and the technical development. I'm leading one of those task forces in there, and I will talk a bit more about this tomorrow. Thank you for your time, and I'll be here both today and tomorrow, and be happy to engage in discussions and exchanges. Thank you.